Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Okay, the formal announcement of the biggest ever Lights On Banquet is coming soon. The door prize will be better than ever the meal. Well, you know, it's hard to improve on perfection. But there will be something extra special added to the succulent tri-tip dinner that Lou prepares for us every year. And, of course, the live performance of the Brain Massage Show will have your lights on. And then the date, November 3rd. Now, that's a final. The date, November 3rd. The price is $25 per plate. Patriots discount for the first 20 plates sold will be $10 off each plate if you register before July the 4th. That's your Patriots discount. Now, that means if you register anytime before 11:59 and 59 seconds on July 4th, you pay only $15 per plate as opposed to $25. Registration is not complete until payments received. You can go online and register today at santamarialighthouse.org. You'll see Banquet on the top right of the menu bar. Click Complete the Form, and remember to click Send to register. And then right there on that page, you'll see a place where you can make your payment. Thank you to those who have already registered. This is going to be the biggest Lights On Banquet ever, and I am so looking forward to it. Okay, my friends? Let's begin with a Bible thump alert, shall we? A Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. All God-hating, God-denying Bible phobes are hereby warned. I'm about to quote from the book our founders referenced more than any other single book, the book George Washington quoted or referenced hundreds of times and established the long-honored custom of swearing into office with his right hand on the Bible, placing his right hand on the open Bible, by the way, and his left hand over his heart. And then after his oath of office, he kissed the Bible and said, "So help me God." But of course, this story can't be believed, right? You know, but if any rumor about womanizing or making bad use of slaves, if that's found floating around like driftwood upon the sea of history, well, it's grabbed up and reported like historical fact. I guess many people find it easier to believe something about someone if it's reflective somehow of their own character or interest. Recently, I finished a great read called George Washington's Sacred Fire, where Peter Lilback destroys the myths created by humanists who have labored to hide the truth about Washington, tried to make him a humanist, alleged he was a deist. But Lilback brings out the hard evidence that exposes these Christ haters for what they are. many of you, I'm sure, have been told the Christians hijacked Washington and created the myth that he was an active, praying, God-fearing Christian. Turns out, of course, I've known this all along, but it's great to have in one place all the evidence drawn together and presented. But it turns out they are the liars. They're the ones who created the myth of Washington as a secular man. He was a religious man, godly and God-fearing. Reading through his correspondence, a careful student could get more theology than most pastors today preach from their pulpits in a lifetime. Indeed, he quoted or alluded to scripture so often, any honest man would have to say that the Apostle Peter would be very, very pleased with him. For Peter by the Spirit said, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." 1 Peter 4:11, and that's George Washington for you, which is amazing. Since the very learned, and by that I mean pretentious, unfortunately, Washington historian Paul Bowler writes, quote, "There are astonishingly few references to the Bible in his letters and public statements," end quote. Where does that kind of thing come from? Of course, those who don't know the Bible, well, they don't notice allusions to it or quotations from it. As when Abraham Lincoln said, quote, "A house divided against itself cannot stand," end quote. Well, they don't know, many of them, that Lincoln was quoting Jesus Christ. Washington called the Bible, quote, "the word of God," end quote. He referred to his faith as, quote, "the blessed religion revealed in the word of God," end quote. And he warned that the, quote, "propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained," end quote. And where are these rules of order to be found? Washington believed they were to be found in the Bible, of course. But that's enough to make my point for now. I find it amazing how many cringe, squirm, become agitated, even vexed when I quote the Bible. But I should not be surprised. Unlike other books, the Bible is quick which means it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, Hebrews 4:12. So, no wonder it makes those people uncomfortable. Anyway, here's the quote I warned you about. Isaiah 29:20-21. The scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught, end quote. Or in other words, they watch for iniquity. They go on fishing expeditions, you know, to find something on someone they can use to destroy them. And they search constantly, and they lay little snares about like predators watching for iniquity. And those who are the targets of their predatory behavior are any who shine the light of truth on them, who expose them, well, like Trump did, and like what we do on this radio show and so on. They attempt to turn the just aside, you know, to dismiss them, to marginalize them for a thing of naught, for nothing. You know, like this constantly pursuing a fabricated story about some Russia-Trump connection when they know there is no evidence supporting that allegation. But I'll tell you what's going on, my friends. They must continue pursuing this for two reasons. One of them, it's all they have at present. And nothing is more important to them than to destroy the Donald. And second, because, well, they must keep attention away from their traitorous connections with Moscow. That is, the connections between Obama, Hillary, and Putin. Obama was Putin's puppet, and phony Comey was an Obama apparatchik deep undercover in the administration, and they must go all out to keep attention away from the truth about phony Comey and away from the truth about the Obama-Hillary-Putin nexus and the plan to reduce America to a socialist communist state, my friends. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
By the way, FYI, here's the 411 on the Ministries of the Lighthouse. Sunday a.m., I'm preaching a series on missions, bringing out the importance that Christians preach the gospel to every nation under heaven. In fact, we just received shipment of my latest book, The Unabridged Gospel, and I'll be preaching a series of messages from the Bible on the subject, the gospel, the whole gospel, and nothing but the gospel. So come on out, and I'll give you a free copy of my new book, and then you can experience the loving, friendly, happy, and joyful worship of some people more in love with God than they are with the world. And loving God, loving every soul He made in His image and likeness, or in other words, for those who think the Lighthouse is all about politics, well, you're going to be surprised to find out that in truth, the Lighthouse is all about Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and His Word that reveals Him. During Bible study right now, I'm teaching a series called Orthopraxy. Does God care about our forms of worship? You'd find that very interesting. What does God say about clapping and worship, greeting with the holy kiss, raising hands and dancing in worship services and all that? And then that'll be followed by a thorough study of the book of Revelation, and along with Daniel. And all of this follows, by the way, an extensive study we just completed a while back in which we introduced every book in the Bible. I mean, Genesis, every one of them. I provided 586 pages of notes and commentary, providing one of the, I think, the best resources for Christians interested in background information about every book in the Bible, providing keen insights into the core message of each book, the theme, the purpose, a study outline for every book in the Bible. Those who actually come to the Lighthouse know it's about the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., I'm teaching a series on Bible doctrine. Now, we publish a statement of faith on our website, and during this series, I'm going to be offering messages that cover each of those doctrines that define the core beliefs of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And what you'll find out is that they are entirely 100% based on what the Bible says. Anyone who knows the ministry of the Lighthouse Baptist Church knows it's about the Bible and about the God who gave it to us. Of course, there's no corner of society that does not in some way intersect with Bible truth. And there's no place in society where Bible truth isn't needed. There's no space that's outside God's truth. There's no sphere of life where the Bible does not speak God's truth to whatever lies the enemy might be using to blind people to the truth. And that includes politics. And any church that does not speak to the politics of this culture is not preaching the whole counsel and is yielding place to the devil where he can work without impediment to build a base of power within our culture from which he can launch an assault on our religious liberty and hinder gospel ministry. It's up to us to take the sword of the Spirit into every sphere and fight against the lies of seducing spirits that deceive men and turn their heart against the rule of Christ Jesus, the Lord of heaven and of earth. I realize Some hearing me think that the Lighthouse is all about politics. You could not be more wrong. We are all about the truth of God's Word. Everyone coming to the Lighthouse who sticks around ends up saying the same thing. They tell us over and over and over, we hear this, I've learned more Bible in 1 year at the Lighthouse than I've learned in my entire life before. So consider this the rolling out of the red carpet and the invitation to all of you to come on by and experience the Lighthouse. I did not mean for this to become an advertisement, forgive me. But I met someone this week who got me to thinking, and really we need to set the record straight on that. The Brain Massage Show was conceived, well, basically, the current format, I should say, for the show was born on 9/11/2001. Before that, it was called Light for Your Life, and I talked about social issues of concern to parents, providing a biblical perspective on those concerns. On 9/11, I realized that our nation was tottering on the brink of hell. Of course, we knew that anyway, but that really brought it home forcefully. As God promised that every nation that forgets Him would be turned into hell, after prayer and fasting, I realized Christians are the ones who needed to step up to it and needed to engage. God-fearing patriots had to step up and step into the ring and start swinging the sword of the Spirit in the battle for the minds and hearts of Americans against the lies of Satan. This church stepped out and took on the devil in a big way, and God has honored our prayers. Now, I'm the executive editor for a magazine called The Intercessor, published by Intercessor Ministries under evangelist Dr. Benny Beckham. As executive editor, I contribute one article in each edition, and I write a column called The Issachar Report. The cover article for the latest edition that will be coming out in a couple of weeks is titled The Reprieve, and it's contributed by evangelist Dr. Flanders. It's a very good article, and it addresses how God providentially intervened on our behalf to extend our liberties, and it calls on us to use that stay of execution order from heaven to encourage Christ's churches to repent and do the first works. Now, my column is titled A Testimony, The Amos Options, where I offer some background and testify to the spiritual warfare that we engaged in at Lighthouse, interceding for a stay of execution of God's wrath against this nation for its sins, and petitioning God for a reprieve specifically. Now, I think I'll share that testimony with you because I think it will help all my listeners understand the heart of this ministry and what we're doing. And then I'll show how this relates to the current hysteria on the left to impeach Trump. And to impeach, really, all Christians and to impeach the truth and what it means to us and what we must do about it. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
Okay, my friends, the formal announcement of the biggest ever Lights On Banquet is coming soon. Meanwhile, the door prize will be better than ever. The meal, well, it's hard to improve on perfection, but there will be something a little extra special added to the succulent tri-tip dinner that Lou provides for us this year. And of course, the live performance of the Brain Massage Show will have your lights on. The date is November 3rd. That's November 3rd. The price is $25 per plate. Patriots discount for the first 20 plates sold. You can save $10 per plate if you register before July 4th. That means if you register anytime before 11:59:59 p.m. on July 4th, you'll pay only $15 a plate instead of $25. Registration is not complete until payment is received. Go online, register today. Go to www.santamarialighthouse.org. You'll see the word banquet on the top right of the menu bar. Click. Complete the form that pops up. Remember to click send so we receive your registration. And then you'll see in the right column a donate button. Click on that. Process your payment. You can do it with debit card, credit card, or through PayPal if you have an account with PayPal. Thank you to those of you who have already registered. This is going to be the biggest Lights On Banquet ever. and I want to see you there.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Well, the progs are hopping mad that Hillary lost, and even more disturbing to them is that Trump won. The concerted and incessant effort on the left to discredit Trump's presidency should not be a surprise to anyone, and it must not be ignored. It must be answered. Let me tell you right now that if Trump's supporters abandon him, it's going to get real ugly, real fast, very bigly. So what's with me and my support for Trump all of a sudden, when I spent so much time coming into the election exposing what I believed were the very good reasons conservatives were making a big mistake to get behind him? The following testimony, however, will explain that to you more than anything else I could say. But allow me to begin by saying that so far, Trump has done more good for our country than I think any president since Reagan. And he is, in truth, positioned to do greater things for this country even than Reagan did. And I know that's saying a lot. From my column in The Intercessor, which will be available for distribution to subscribers in about 3 weeks. If you want a copy, by the way, let me know. So I'm going to set aside 100 copies of The Intercessor magazine, titled The Reprieve, and it'll be sent to you free if you call in or send me an email in referencing this show. You can tell me you heard it either by radio or online, and that'll go from now until the next show. In Amos 7, verses 1 through 9, God declares his judgment against Israel because in their prosperity they had forgotten him who blessed them with it, and they turned to worship other gods. Yeah, you know, they believed that they still worshiped Yahweh. Yehovah. You see, they bought into the lie that everyone worships the same God. They just use different names. Like many other good churches, Lighthouse Baptist Church, where I have the honor to be the senior pastor, has been crying out to God, begging for mercy upon our country. Now, it's hard to put in words exactly how I felt the day I heard Obama say, quote, America is no longer a Christian nation, end quote. Now, during the unusually long dramatic pause, maybe trying to figure out what he was going to do since he actually misread his transcript, but during that dramatic pause, I passed through feelings of shock, anger, disgust, and then a profound sadness, you know, before he finally broke the tension saying, at least not just. Remember, June 28, 2006, during a campaign speech, Obama said, quote, whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. Long pause. At least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of unbelievers. Now, folks, it goes beyond my purpose here to give commentary on this foolish statement. First, that it admits something most liberals attempt to deny. And that is, America at least was, in their view, a Christian nation. And then second, it is absurd to suggest any of the religions he named, including unbelief, but with the arguable exception of Judaism, had any significant influence in shaping America politically or culturally. And then third, a strong argument may be given supporting the assertion that America was founded as a Christian nation and continues to be such so long as the Constitution remains the law of the land. Now, we can debate that and argue that until we've consumed an entire rainforest for the pulpit would take, all right? Or to use a more contemporary analogy, the bits and nibbles and bites required would consume the memory of my 4 terabyte backup drive. But remember this, my friend, Israel remained one nation under God for hundreds of years of history, where much of that time she was in one degree or another in a backslidden state. In fact, a contemporary of Amos, another prophet named Hosea, quoted God saying, quote, my people are bent to backsliding, end quote. Hosea 11:17. My point here is that although I already knew America was in great trouble, when Obama gave that speech and then became president, I ramped up my prayers for revival and began calling on my church family to get serious about prayer and fasting, engaging in spiritual warfare. In 2009, I began preaching a series of messages on the importance of prayer and fasting and explaining spiritual warfare to our congregation. I explained that Jesus had invested in us the power of the Holy Ghost and that he has challenged us to believe that the fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man avail much, that all of our physical battles have spiritual underpinnings, that Jesus promised the gates of hell would not prevail against the assault of his church, and that by faith we could remove mountains and uproot trees. Okay, in 2010, we organized what we called spiritual assault teams. Now, these were challenged to assault specifically identified strongholds of Satan in our government and in our culture, and to do that with fasting and praying together for 1 month. Additionally, we began a pre-service prayer meeting on Sunday nights where, after I gave a brief challenge to the congregation regarding some particular concern, the church was called to charge the gates of hell, in response to which everyone in the congregation moved to their knees in earnest prayer over that concern. You see, Satan sets up strongholds of control in key areas where he can, from those strongholds, influence our culture and gain increasing control over our government, and then through our government, over our lives. And of course, he uses this influence and control to turn our nation away from God, so that God will then turn the nation over to hell. Psalm 9:17. That is, to his control. At that time, we identified 5 key areas where we discerned Satan had established strongholds, and we organized spiritual assault teams to break those strongholds through prayer and fasting. Generally speaking, we targeted the abortion industry, education, the Supreme Court, homosexual activism, and, of course, Washington. That means Washington, D.C., inclusive of the White House and the Hill, both houses. And God began working almost immediately. The now infamous videos came out exposing the brutality of abortion, and the evil of baby-killing doctors was exposed in the news. Pressure continues to mount against Planned Parenthood. The war is ongoing, to be sure, but we found it encouraging to our faith to notice that almost all of this broke out in the wake of activating our spiritual assault teams. We prayed very specifically about the homosexual that Obama had appointed over the Department of Education, and we were very concerned about any further appointments he might make to the Supreme Court. Well, the gay rights activists seem to have it all going their way. Well, today, with the election of Donald Trump, we have seen virtually all of our concerns addressed, and then some. His appointment of Betsy DeVos to the Department of Education? Wow. His recent appointment of Gorsuch to the Supreme Court? Oh, man. His reversal of some of the key props put in place by Obama to support and advance the interests of the homosexual activists and the abortion industry have been knocked out by Trump. And everyone agrees that Trump's election was nothing short of a miracle. When we see these things, we rejoice. And our faith is encouraged to believe God will do yet more wonderful and mighty things if his people, that are called by his name, will continue to humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. And some devils can only get driven out by prayer and fasting. We need prayer and fasting to address the concerns of our day. Now, to my personal testimony and the impact Amos 7, 1-9 had on me. Weeping for the grievous offenses we have hurled into the face of God after he has so graciously favored us in this country, I opened my Bible to Amos 7. Like Moses, who stood in the gap between the congregation and God's wrath, Exodus 32, likewise Amos found himself standing between the congregation of the Lord and God's pronounced wrath. Well, God declared 3 judgments to Amos. The first judgment option involved the total destruction of Israel's agriculture. Amos perceived that it would be impossible to recover from such a judgment. He stepped into the gap and petitioned God, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. Now God heard his prayer and responded, the Lord repented for this, it shall not be, saith the Lord. Then God declared the second judgment option, a partial destruction of Israel by fire. Amos pleaded with God, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small? And God responded again, the Lord repented for this, this shall not be, saith the Lord. Well, then God declared the third judgment option in Amos 7, 7-9, and this is the judgment of the plumb line. You can look at Zechariah 4:10 for insight there. A plumb line is an instrument by which the straightness of a wall is measured, or it's used in order to build a straight wall. The idea is that God would raise up a voice declaring the things in Israel that are out of plumb and revealing what needed to be done to correct the problem. As for what was found to be out of plumb, God pointed directly to the high places and the sanctuaries of Israel. Israel had long forgotten the Lord and worshipped in the high places and in the sanctuaries after the pattern of the heathen and not according to the direction and teaching of the Bible. In other words, the judgment addressed narrowly the specific provocations or the soil in which these evils rose up in the land. Now, Amos did not petition God to repent of this judgment. Perhaps Amos saw in this judgment something from which Jacob could arise and even benefit. It was a judgment upon those who'd gone astray in their religion in the country. In the months leading up to the last general election, I was wrestling with great anxiety over what at that time appeared to be a very real possibility that we would end up with a president who would move this country over the precipice of rebellion against God and into the hands of hell. And one night, unable to sleep, as my grandmother Nell taught me, I rose to pray, as is my custom. I opened the scripture in the dark and walked down the hallway, as I often do, and turn on the light in my office. And then I looked to see what the scripture was that I had opened to, and it happened upon Amos chapter 7. I knelt and I began to read, and immediately I recognized the passage, and I knew it was about Amos interceding for Israel at a time when she faced certain severe judgment from God, and I just thought, well, this is from the Lord. I was so overwhelmed with a sense of urgency to step into the gap for our own country and to plead with God for mercy. As I looked more carefully at the passage, I noticed that God laid out the judgment Israel deserved. Total annihilation. Before God, I confess what I'm sure is in agreement with the sensibilities of every Christian listening to me right now. America has forgotten God and deserves to be turned into hell, according to Psalm 9:17. But like Amos, well, I beg God for mercy. Indeed, I beg God, by whom shall thy churches arise? If America is lost, protection of our religious liberties will almost certainly soon be lost. By whom shall thy church arise? I decided to beg God from this prophecy that God would have mercy on America and grant us option number 3. Namely, that God would begin his judgment in the house of God, that he would raise up a plumb line in the midst of his people, and then those that are out of plumb would be rebuked and called to repent and make the necessary corrections. Furthermore, God would send a judgment upon those ministries that are compromising with the world, that are worshiping in the high places and establishing sanctuaries contrary to the will and the way of God, as it's revealed in his word. Finally, that God would set his sword upon the house of those leaders in this country who have taught the people to sin and to forget God. Anyway, I preached a message or two from the passage after that, but it stayed with me. It just wouldn't let me go. So I decided God was calling me to set myself apart for prayer and fasting, and I spent 4 days fasting and praying and begging God for the third option of Amos 7, that the plumb line would measure my own ministry as well, and I was ready to heed any rebuke that he had for me and for Lighthouse Baptist Church. I want to tell you that there were several things that God placed on my heart during that time that I needed to address in my own life and that we needed to address at the Lighthouse. On the fourth day, God gave me peace that if I simply would call our little church to pray and fast, begging God for the third option, that God would have mercy. And he did. Trump is not everything I would choose for a president, to be sure. But his election over Hillary was certainly more grace than any of us deserves, let's face it. But make no mistake about this. We must pray for President Trump and his administration. We must continue to soldier on in spiritual warfare and give him and his team the prayer cover necessary to overcome the resistance of the devil's crowd. Remember now, if you call in today, I'm going to reserve for you a free copy of the next issue of The Intercessor. And that goes to the first 100 who call in or email me in response to this show. And that's through this weekend on the radio and then from podcast listeners through the week until the next show is published. And I'll tell you what, I'll also give you a free copy of The New Cart Church, Doing the Right Thing the Wrong Way. And I'll make that available to the first 10 who respond to this show by a call or by email. It's a very good plumb line book. It's useful to help God's people rightly discern between ministry that's biblical and ministry that is not. Now, if you'll come by and visit me this Sunday at church, all who come to any of our services this Sunday, I'm going to give you a free copy of my latest book, The Unabridged Gospel. And there's another good plumb line book for you. Now, pastors have told me it provides the best explanation of repentance and remission they've ever read. On the spiritual warfare side, you should get a copy of Kingdom Power by Prayer and Fasting. Now, this little book has been used of God to call literally thousands of Christians into a ministry of prayer and fasting. Now, you can get that online or call and ask, and some of my team will get back to you to help you get a copy of that book. Now, folks, I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now, you call and let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number is 888-770-8000. Or go to our website, brainmassage.net. That's just brain massage put together into one word. You know how it goes. Brainmassage.net. You'll see there a place to contact me. You also see a place there to make a donation to help support this work. Is there not a cause? Indeed, there is. Help us out. My dear friends, God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.